Matthew, we're looking at the Beatitudes, those blessings, as Joshua read, and we're up to in Matthew 5. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How hungry are you tonight? Once you get to youth supper, you discover there's a lot of hungry young people. Even if they're not hungry, they seem to be able to eat fairly well. We all get hungry, but the question is, how hungry are you for righteousness? That's different. We see here, though, that Jesus uses a natural part of life to explain what he wants us to be like. He wants us to seek after righteousness, the same way we seek after food when we're hungry or water when we're thirsty. Now, I guess depending on who you look at in the natural eating, that could vary. For some people, that means they are to seek after righteousness in an intense and frequent manner, because that's how some people seek food. While others, it may be more of a controlled and limited amount of seeking after righteousness. But regardless of your eating habits or physical hunger, we all know what it's like to be hungry and thirsty. And we know that once that hunger truly kicks in, generally that's the only thing you can think about. It overwhelms you. If you're on a building site and it's a cold, windy day and you didn't have breakfast or morning tea and they're going and it's past lunchtime, I'm telling you, you're just consumed by that feeling of hunger. And that's all you're looking forward to, or on a hot day in the 40 degrees and you forgot to take your drink bottle and you're consumed by thirst. Regardless of what you're doing, that seems to be the main thought on your mind, getting a drink of water. And Jesus wants us to have that same hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wants us to do that because he wants us to be godly. We're told in the Word of God that God is in the business, when we become a Christian, of fashioning us into the image of Christ. That's what God wants to do. He wants to change us. So when someone meets us, they get an image of what Jesus is like. When we talk to a person, they get to know what Jesus sounds like and the care that he has, or what Jesus hates and what Jesus loves, our character. He wants to fashion us into the image of Christ. But for that to happen, there is one key component that enables him to do that, and that is we have to be willing for it to happen. And there are particular things we need to do for God to be able to transform us and fashion us into the image of Christ. And the key one is to have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, would you please? Here we see the process that takes place, this fashioning process. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It's sort of a little bit hidden with the King James way of speech here. But we read here in verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's talking about the Word of God being like a mirror, and how as we look into that mirror, we are changed into that image. Now, that doesn't happen. Like if you get a photo and you stare at the photo, you aren't changed into the image of that photo. But here we see that the Word of God, as we behold the glory of God in the Word of God, He is able to transform us and fashion us into His image. It's the work of the Spirit of God who does that. And so if we want to be like Christ, we have a responsibility to spend time in His Word, beholding the glory of God. And what happens is, as we behold Him, we grow to know Him. As we grow to know Him, we grow to love Him. As we grow to love Him, we want to obey Him. And as we obey Him, we become more like Him. It's a process. People often get it the other way around, the wrong way around, where I want to be like Him, so I find all the rules and I try and do everything so I can be like Christ. Well, obeying Him is basically the last process. You've got to spend time in His Word to know Him, so you love Him, so that you will want to obey Him, so that you can live outward those commandments. And if we don't do our part, we're never going to be like Christ. It's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to wake up one day and go to work and people go, "Whoa, you're so different. You're like Jesus Christ." Right? It doesn't happen by accident. There is actually a need for us to do something. And our need is to hunger and thirst after righteousness, who is Christ Himself and His Word. Now, you might say, "Well, I know that. My problem is I don't have a desire." And that's often the biggest problem. We know we need to spend time in the Word of God. We know we need to get to know Him. We have the knowledge of what we need to do. It's just that we don't have that desire. We aren't hungry enough to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so the question is, how hungry are you? And if you're not very hungry for righteousness, well then why not? You know, when you come to church, do you actually come to listen to learn about your God? Or do you just go through the motions and get it over and done with? Do you find time to spend in His Word? Do you actually hunger for it? Are you satisfied with where you are as a Christian, or do you have that thirst to grow in the knowledge and in the love and in the image of God? Now, I know when I was in my early 20s, I was a very hungry young man in many ways, not just with food, physical food. I had a passion to want to be like Christ, to the extent that I probably went the wrong way sometimes just out of zeal. But I wanted to know God. I wanted to feed on His Word. I wanted to know everything there possibly was about Him. I did want to be Christ-like. I must admit there are times when I don't have the same sort of hunger though. And maybe you're the same. I'm just not hungry. I know I should, but I'm not. Well, tonight we're going to look at some reasons why we often aren't hungry as we're meant to be. You know, when someone loses their physical appetite, it's generally for a very good reason. It's a sign of some sort of sickness. And it's the same with spiritual appetites as well. When we lose our hunger and our thirst for righteousness, there is generally a very good reason for it. And so we're going to look at some of the reasons why we often lose our physical appetite, and I want to find an application for our spiritual appetite as well. And if you don't have a appetite for the things of God, you don't seem to have any interest in the things of God, you don't hunger as you know you should, maybe the reason's found in one of these. First one, where people lose their appetite very easily, is just simply through poisoning of some sort. You know, if you drink a bottle of poison, I'll guarantee you won't be hungry. All right? It just sort of is able to destroy that whole feeling of hunger. You just feel miserably sick. All right? You want to bring up everything. The thought of food turns you off. Anything. You know, you are sick to death, literally. Poison does that to you. And so does sin. the deceitfulness of sin. You know, if you had a hunger for the things of God and now you don't have a hunger for the things of God, often it's because you have sin in your life in one way. You are poisoning yourself. You know, poisoning can also come a little bit more sinister and not as easy to understand or notice. You know, if you turn to Titus chapter 1, would you please? Titus chapter 1, we read here that people will be poisoned, not through their own doings, but poisoned by others. It says here in Titus chapter 1 verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." You know, it was a problem back in Paul's day, and we can be sure it's still a very big problem today, where someone has a sincere hunger for the things of God, they go to a church, yet they get poisoned. It could be through false teaching. And they listen to that teaching and they're poisoned through it. It could be through sinful practices that are taking place behind the scene. And they get caught up in those sinful practices and they are poisoned through the sin of others. It could be through sinful attitudes. Everything looked good at first, but they were corrupted. And that can have a major effect on people when it comes to their desire to go to church anymore or to be around Christians or even Christ himself. You know, that's a deceitful type of poisoning that Satan tries. You know, I know this is not to do with church, but when I was 21, I shared a house with another fella. And as young men are, you often don't have a lot of food in the cupboard, and I didn't have any food, so I was scrounging through the cupboard on his side, and I found this can of ham, canned ham. I don't think it was Spam. I'm sure it just said canned ham. And I opened it up, and it was all like greasy. And it smelt a little bit funny too. But I was hungry, so I got some toast, and I put it on the toast, and I ate it. And tastes a bit funny too, actually. But I ate it all. Oh, that's all right. I got through it. That was about 9 o'clock at night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Oh, I have never been sick in my life. I've heard of people who get themselves drunk and make themselves get rid of what's in their stomach. And I said, I would never do that. I could never. But boy, I had to go out the back and I had to convince myself to put my fingers down my throat to try and get through that night. And then I took myself up to the hospital and it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I still hadn't been seen, but I had gone to that toilet and, quite a few times. But I got a massive dose of food poisoning. And I can tell you, that was when I was, 21? If you gave me, put down a can of ham, I'm not interested in eating that still, all right? I look at that and I see them on the shelf. I don't want to go anywhere near canned ham. Certainly don't want to smell it. That memory of how sick it made me. Now, that's just food poisoning. I have the same sort of reaction to bananas as well, actually. Same sort of thing happened to me with off milk. But I don't like bananas and I don't like canned ham. But some people, they think of church and that's how they feel. Because they were poisoned in some way. They have a bad experience. Some think of Christians and they feel that way. They hear of Jesus and they think of that way. Now, The local church is God's design. It was never meant to be like that. And it wasn't Christ who sinned against them. It was people who sinned against them. And when people are like that, they need to regain their appetite. Find a good church, get close to the Lord, and you'll see that it's not all canned ham and bananas in churches. But we can be poisoned and we lose our appetite. There's a lot of people who refuse to go to church anymore because they were either poisoned through their own foolish eatings, they poisoned themselves, or someone else poisoned them. And they've lost that appetite. And that's not a good place to be. We're meant to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, that's not the only way we lose our appetite. Sometimes people lose their appetite because they've filled themselves with just so much junk food. You know, I think of, I shouldn't say little Johnny because there's a few Jonathans here, but little Barry. Little Barry goes off to a party, a 10th birthday party, and you've got to have every sort of junk food there at a 10th birthday party, and little Barry eats as much as he possibly can of chocolates, lollies, Frankfurts, all those yummy things. While little Barry's mum is at home cooking a nice baked dinner with all the good nutrients that a young boy needs. He gets home after filling himself with all the junk, sits down, mum puts this miraculous meal in front of him, and what does little Barry say? Oh, I'm not hungry. I don't feel like it. Why? He stuffed himself full of junk food. And that's often how we are when it comes to the things of God. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't sinful, but they are what we call spiritual junk food. They have no spiritual value whatsoever. You know, there is nothing sinful about sport or fishing or going skiing or even video games, all right, or various hobbies. There's nothing sinful in these things, but sometimes Christians fill themselves up with so much of this world's junk food, they have no appetite for the things of God. Come to church, they're too busy thinking about what they're going to do afterwards to think about God's word. Or they're too tired because they've stayed up all night playing video games to sit and actually listen to the things of God. Or there's just too many things to think about to consider God's word. And so often Christians want to, instead of being spiritually strong, they want to be financially strong, physically strong. They'll wear themselves out at a gym instead, or academically strong, but they don't consider being spiritually strong. Or the words of God are one of the least types of words they're interested in. They want to listen to the words of their favorite singers or TV shows or whatever it may be. Yet they don't listen to the word of God. You know, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians, we read about this sort of thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says this, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient," that is, useful. "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And you know, sadly, people are controlled by things that have no eternal value. If you know me very well, you know I love sport. You know I love watching a good movie. I love having fun. But if that's all my life consists of, or that's more important to me than the word of God and the house of God, well then, I've got problems. And I've made it a point for my years since I've sought to seek the Lord to make sure they don't come before the Lord, because God's house, God's word, is what I need more than anything else. I can't survive as a Christian without it. And I'm sure there's been lots of pastors, even today, who have spent a lot of time preparing a good, healthy meal for those in their church. Yet people have come And they're like little Barry who sits there and thinks, oh, I'm so full, I can't eat anything. Because they are filled with the junk of this world. Their minds are filled with it. They can't wait to get out and fill themselves with more. And they have no interest in the things of God. You know, that's a bad place to be. We need to make sure that we're not brought under the influence of anything. As the Apostle Paul says, we have the freedom to do lots of wonderful things, but we aren't to be brought under the control of these things. You know, Satan is good at getting us hooked on junk food of this world. He wants you to get hooked on sport, hooked on making money. He wants you to get hooked on just friends or just junky things in this world so that you got no interest in the things of God. How much junk do you consume compared to the Word of God? That would be a good thing to ask. You know, there's another thing that why often Christians lose their appetite, and sometimes this can be the most hideous of all. I call it spiritual anorexia. We know what anorexia is, and if you've seen shows on it, it's a hideous disease, and it's generally with girls where they are convinced that they are fat when the reality is they are hideously thin to the point of death. Yet when they look in the mirror, they see a fat person. And they're not seeing it through proper eyes, their own body. And they are terribly unwell. And there are believers that are like this. You know, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. There was a church like this. When the Lord was dealing with various churches, he was a church who thought they were perfectly right, yet in God's sight, they were the complete opposite. It was the Laodicean church. Let me read from verse 14 of chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, they thought that they were spiritually rich, that they had increased in their goods. They were obviously a rich church, and they looked around and said, we don't need anything. You know, we are truly a good church. Where God says, no, when I look at you, you're wretched and miserable, blind and naked. They were suffering from spiritual anorexia. They thought they were something that they weren't. And friends, the day when you think you can't grow any more like Christ is the day that you're sick. You're seeing yourself differently to how God sees you. The day when you can't receive advice, you think you know it all, means that you're sick and you just can't see it. The day that you think you can survive without a quiet time, you don't need to spend time in God's Word, is the day that you have that spiritual anorexia. I know for myself, the day that I think that I can survive being in God's house just once a week, and that would do me, that just means that I'm getting sicker than what I realize. I know when I was that 20-year-old, I would get to church and I'd love being at church and I'd love coming back at night. And then I knew I had to get through to Wednesday night. And I'm thinking, how will I get through to Wednesday night living in this world? And I would look forward to that Wednesday night where I can be with the brethren and hear God's word and pray again. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be where I could hear God's word. when I think I no longer need the food, that spiritual food, that's the day I know I'm in trouble. You know, you may say, well, I know I need it. I'm too busy. I know I need this food, but I'm too busy. It's not that I'm not hungry, I just don't have time. Well, you know, I'll tell you the real fact is you're just not a hungry person. That's the reality. You know, I can't remember, it was quite a few years ago now. I can't even remember if it was here in Bendigo or in Coffs Harbour, but it was late in Sunday afternoon, I think it was, or a Saturday afternoon. It was in the mall, and there was this homeless man, and he was going through the bins. And he would pick up, if there was a McDonald's container, he'd get that, and he'd eat, you know, the little perk, the little things that everyone gets rid of. He was eating them. And if there was any meat there, he would eat that, and he'd put that down, and he'd scrummage through, and he'd find something else, and he would eat that as well. He was just eating whatever food he would find. That's a hungry man. He wasn't too proud. He certainly had time to do it. He was willing to beg, borrow, humble himself just to get food. That's how a hungry person acts. Same with a hungry Christian. And if you've said to yourself, I just don't have time to have a quiet time, just be honest, you're just not hungry enough to have a quiet time. That's the real reason. If you're too busy to come to the Lord's house, well, then the reason is, it's not that you're too busy, you're just not hungry enough. If you say you're too tired to pray, well, you may be tired, but I'd say you're just not hungry enough. Otherwise, if you were hungry, you would do whatever you could to eat. If it meant giving up some TV, if it meant giving up some sport, extra money, when with a job or a part-time job or some leisure, you would find time to get that spiritual food. Many say they're hungry, but they're not really hungry. And we need to be hungry. And if you're not hungry, I suspect it's either because of sin or you're just full of junk or you're so proud you don't realize how sick you are. So Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. How hungry are you for the things of God? Well, we might look a little bit more at this next time I preach on a Sunday night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if there's a day when we can be well fed in your word, this is the day. We have your word in so many forms, Lord, not just the written word. We have it. We can have it on our phones. We can have it everywhere. We have the freedom to come and hear it preached. Lord, we have no reason not to feed on your word. Our biggest problem is, Lord, we're just not hungry enough. I pray that you'll give us that hunger for you, that you will be what burns within us. Lord, Jesus said that if we hunger after him, we will be filled. And I pray that we would be such people as this. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.